I'm long past my sprinting days. When I was little, I used to sprint everywhere. I did everything at the double. I was the quickest eater of sago pudding and blackcurrant puree the school had ever seen in its entire history. And it was an exclusive private school on the south coast of England, and the headmistress almost came from a title background. You ask the on treasurer of the Old Girls Association, if you can find her sober, that is. Bastard. When I was little, it only took me 3 days to read the entire works of Jane Austen, even though I couldn't stand that ghastly Heathcliff. I was always out of breath through sprinting. I was forever out of puff. I used to positively hare down the path to the postman to see if he'd a card from Mother when she was away on one of her golfing holidays. "She won't have written, old chap," Father used to say. "She'll be far too busy oogling the golf professional." In those days, I didn't understand the significance of the word oogling. I don't sprint now. I gush. Gosh. I wish I didn't gush. I'm always saying, super, super, I say when someone tells me they're providing disabled toilets in the public library. What does D.H. Lawrence want with disabled toilets? Super, I say when I hear they're thinking of reforming Russia. They should have reformed it years ago and turned it into our equivalent of Cheltenham Spa. If ever I find myself a good man and he takes me to his bed and arouses my frenzies and makes my juices flow, I shan't moan with passion and cry out with ecstasy. Super! I'll say super! I wish I didn't gush. I wish I was still in my sprinting days. If I were, do you know what I'd do? I'd sprint off at the top of my voice, away from all this, and into the arms of my blokey. Oh, Lord, how I'd sprint!
What a mess! What a shambles! What do we do now?
How do you bait?
Well, Father's been deserted by Uncle Skomer in Nice. Mother's been unfaithful with her urges umpteen times. They've got no money. They're absolutely skint and...
There's been the most terrible derailment in Ventimiglia.
I thought you said you warned the station master in Savona.
Blast, so I did.
Super, William, super.
I want to go home.
Why?
I'm fed up.
What about your blokey?
What?
Your blokey with the villa in Quiberon, the wife with the thin arms and...
I told you not to mention that, Nancy. I told you specifically to keep it quiet, and you promised you would.
Sorry, Rosie, clean forgot. Right then, William, as you were, Rosie has not got a blokey.
I couldn't care less.
Thank you very much, William. How very kind and thoughtful and loving of you. So what's eating you today, sunshine?
I'm fed up to the back teeth with all this talk of blokeys and bits of fluff and mother's urges with Uncle Skomer. This whole family is obsessed with sex.
I beg your pardon, will you?
It reeks of it.
Don't be so bloody stupid.
It does. It does. Ever since I was a little boy, our whole family life has reeked of sex. Snuffling in secret corners, snarling at your ankles with your trousers down in the loo, sneering at your loofah when you're taking a bath, smirking at you behind plain covers in Father's library, clinging to the curtains like cloying, leering, stale tobacco smoke.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
It's not, Rosie. It's always been there. Unspoken, unmentioned, unseen, but always there. Gosh, Rosie's got a new boyfriend. Super, William, super. Does he look like the marrying sort? You don't think he's got any secrets on the you-know-what front? I wonder if he's circumcised.
William, I never ask questions like that. There was no need to. You could tell by the way he walked.
Oh, hush, Nancy. Let him carry on with his whinging and his whining.
I'm not whinging and whining. I'm telling the truth as it was. Mother's gone on a golfing holiday. Mother's on a bird-watching holiday in the Somerset Levels. Mother's gone brass rubbing to East Anglia. Don't say a word to Father. Don't ask where she is. Don't ask when she's coming back. I won't, Nancy. I won't. Super, William, super.
Why don't you bring your girlfriend home to tea, old boy?
I haven't got a girlfriend, Father.
Good God, Nancy. You don't think the little blighter's turning into a shirt lifter?
I don't like sex. I hate it. It reduces us all to the level of randy hamsters at the back of a sulking pet shop window.
And, of course, you know all about sulking, don't you, William?
Oh, yes, Rosie, I'm an expert on it. Sulk, sulk, sulk. Like a chastised spaniel who's just smashed his mistress's favourite bowl of pot pourri. Sulk, like a fat koi carp who sees a girl peering down at him in his pond. And she's blonde, and her lips are moist, and her breasts are full and firm. And he wants her. But he's a fish, isn't he? All he is a bloody fish, and he can't escape from his pond. I want to go home.
We all want to go home, you Burke. Every single one of us, poor, benighted, sex-mad, lost souls that we are. You make me sick, William.
I left them to it. Well, I can't stand fish. They're such wets, aren't they? They're so hopeless and... I'm not obsessed by sex. It wasn't allowed at school. They said it brought the caretaker out in boils. He was a lovely man, the caretaker. He'd served on corvettes during the war. And his son was so dishy. And yet he was so shy. I'd never seen anyone blush so much. He blushed as much as I gushed. What a couple we'd have made on our wedding night. I bet his little bum would have been as scarlet as a radish, and he'd have covered his little tummy tinkler with a face cloth, and... I'm not obsessed by sex, and I don't want to go home. Not really. I like it here. I've got my blokey. He's got a villa in Quiberon, and a wife with thin arms, and... I've got Winston completely out of my system. Why should I want to marry him? Who cares about his bit of fluff? Here in Europe, I'm a bit of fluff in my own right. European men like women like me. They admire a woman who knows her way around a garden centre. They adore women who won't be fobbed off by inferior service from travel agents and Irish char ladies and roofing contractors and... I want to stay here. I want to live here forever. What is there for me back home? Married men festooned with mortgages and wives with knees like nutcrackers. The men aren't like that here in Europe. They live in select rented accommodation. Their shoes squeak. They carry purses so their loose change doesn't rattle in their pockets when they run for the tram. They read foreign newspapers with soft dark hair on the backs of their hands and snow-white teeth and... And then I saw Winston. He was climbing up the rickety wooden staircase of Father's signal box. He looked sad. He looked thoughtful. He looked so handsome and so potent and so desirable and so... I'm not obsessed with sex. Oh, Winston, with your nut-brown boozer's belly and your sabata moustache and your firm, noble thighs and... What the hell was he up to going to see Father?
Yes, come on in. It's only me. Winston, old chap, what do you recommend?
Not a lot.
No, nor I. We've been deserted, you see. Uncle Scoma's done a bunk and left us penniless.
Oh, I know, Zah. You told me yesterday, you daft old bugger.
Oh, so I did. Glad to see you were paying attention. A fearful quandary, knowing what to do now.
No, it ain't. The answer is simple.
Well, is it?
Of course it is. You wants to sling your hook forthwith and immediate sort of thing and leave your missus to look after her own devices, which, knowing her proclivities with blokies of the opposite sex sort of thing, I reckon she won't find too difficult.
Yeah, there's just one snag there, old boy.
And what is that?
Well, she's not my missus. We're not married, you see. We didn't get spriced until 5 years before Nancy was born. Isn't birth ghastly? My God, how I hate Mary Stopes.
I wants to go home.
Huh? What's that, old boy?
I wants to go home to Winterleaf Gunner and my sprogs and my missus with the mottled size in the face like the inside of a plumber's tool bag.
Well, why don't you, old bean? There's nothing to stop you.
There is.
What?
My bit of fluff.
Oh, your bit of fluff. How wonderful, Winston. Is she reasonably tip-top, this bit of fluff of yours?
Oh, yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Is she, by any chance, oriental? Has she got slim ankles and almond eyes and long, curving fingernails and bare feet that go pitter-patter when they rill lightly up and down your spine?
Well, yes, in a manner of speaking sort of thing, if you ignore her smoker's cough and her bloodshot kneecaps.
Maybe she's half-chat, old boy.
Half-chat? I thought you just said she was an Oriental, Ben.
No, Winston, she's not Oriental. She's a mulatto. A mulatto with a nose like a fishhawk. and flaring nostrils of a picador stallion about to face the charge of a wounded fighting bull from Pamplona.
Yes. Well, I reckon you could describe her in them terms, especially when she's rattling her curlers and picking her nose with a toasting fork.
No, she's a Slav.
What?
She's a Slav. She's the Slav chambermaid I met that night in Potsdam, all those years ago when Uncle Skoma and your mother jiggered off to see the burial place of Frederick the Great. Ah, she came into my bedroom, this Slav chambermaid with high cheekbones and the pointed ears, and she consoled me most fearfully in my distress and my loneliness. She bore a marked resemblance to the niece of Uncle Skoma's two chums in Vienna.
What the hell are you on about?
Well, the niece, chappie, she was Swedish, with a Dutch mother and an Estonian father. Your mother and Uncle Skoma had a sudden urge that night in Vienna, and they went off to satisfy it in a sleazy street corner hotel with cackling shutters. That's when the niece fellow came into my room. I was in the depths of despair, old boy, and she removed my spat, set to work on my socks. She looked for all the world like your mother the night of our honeymoon in the Shan Hills of Burma. Went, got it?
You're telling me you got it? God blimey, Charlie, you got it. Something chronic. You are the classic case, my old Wingsy Bash, of a blokey what is inextricably and irrevocably sort of thing, caught up to the top of your short and curlies in what we likes to call down in the bike repair shop at Winterleaf Gunner a time warp. You don't know whether you're coming or going, do you? You don't know whether you're on this earth or Fuller's.
No, I don't suppose I do, old boy. Does it just matter?
Does it matter? Of course it bloody matters. You are playing havoc with my life, you are. I gets up of a morning and I don't know whether I'm halfway to Bratislava on the 5:13 stopper from Yeovil Junction or stuffing myself with plover's eggs and pork scratches in the Doge's Palace with Paul Gauguin 1848 to 1903. And I knows for a fact he'd have preferred ready salted crisps. You got me all confused. You got me all flummoxed.
But in that case, there's only one thing for it.
What would that be?
Well, put my plan into operation.
What plan?
Well, you know when I said got it a few minutes ago?
Yes.
Well, I had got it. I got a plan. We'll do a scoot. We'll skedaddle, you and I, Winston.
What?
Yes, there's no need to worry about money. I'll telegraph Father, and he can send us the readies, care of Thomas Cook and Sons at Nice. Then we'll catch the train, first class and all the ablutions facilities that go with it, and we can roam all over Europe in the lap of luxury, you, myself, and your bit of fluff.
I can't.
Why ever not?
Nancy.
What about Nancy?
I can't leave her.
Why?
Well, because she ain't fit to be left.
Why?
You selfish old bugger. You never, ever thinks of Nancy, do you?
I do.
When?
When I run out of pipe cleaners.
I'm off.
What's that, old boy?
I'm off. I had come up here to console you. I had come up here to help and assist you in your despair and your distress sort of thing.
Oh, say, jolly indeed. You want to start on my spats now, or would you rather...
I'd also come up here to ask you a question.
Ah, a question, good old. I love questions. Nell Tarleton.
What?
Nell Tarleton. That's the answer to the question you were going to ask me. Nell Tarleton was featherweight champion of Britain and the British Empire from 1930 to 1945.
It was not the question I was going to ask you. The question I was going to ask you was this. Can I have the hand of your daughter, Nancy, in marriage?
In what, old boy?
Marriage. I wants to marry your daughter.
Oh, it's very wise, old boy, and L. Tarleton would have made a most unsuitable consort for you. All those gum shields and spitting buckets and...
I heard the most dreadful noise of splintering wood and shattered glass. I looked up from my seat by the well and the rusting pump, where I was darning a hole in the elbow of William's chunky oatmeal cardigan. It was Winston. He'd slammed the door of Father's signal box so violently that the windows had burst into smithereens, and the frames were hanging silly and askew. He came bounding down the rickety wooden stairs, positively bounding, like I used to do in my sprinting days, when I pelted down the garden path to greet Mother when she returned from one of her hiking holidays in Northumberland, talking nothing but Esperanto, and she'd say, "Get down, Nancy! Stop pawing me, you brute! Stop fawning! Stop gushing! Get down!" Suddenly Winston spotted me. He stopped dead in his tracks. He ground his teeth, he clenched his fists, and he strode towards me. I was terrified. I was petrified. I thought he was going to throw me to the ground and kick me in the ribs, like that time at school when Millicent Rowley accused me of drawing rude pictures in her Radio Fun Annual. But he didn't. He stopped in front of me. And his chest was heaving, and his Zapata moustache was twitching, and the dandruff was rattling in his coarse dark hair that grated on his sun-bronzed shoulders, and he said...
"I see you."
"Yes, Winston?"
"I want to ask you a question."
"Bessemer."
"What?"
"It was Bessemer who invented the Bessemer converter."
"Well, what are you talking about, missus?"
"That's the question you asked me last week, and I didn't know the answer. Well, I looked it up, and now I know the answer. It was Bessemer. Though why he wanted to go and invent a converter when the world must have been crying out at the time for decent handlebar grips and disposable doilies and..." "Don't throw me to the ground, Winston. Don't kick me in the ribs. It wasn't me who drew rude pictures in your Radio Fan Annual."
"Why is everyone talking rubbish round here? What is wrong with you, Nancy?"
"I don't know, Winston. I'm all confused. I'm all... What do you want?"
"I come to ask you a simple question, missus. And the answer ain't Bessemer. The answer is yes."
"Is it?"
"Yes. The question what I'm asking you is this. Will you marry me?"
"What?"
"Will you marry me and do me the honour of becoming my wife and my partner in marriage, sort of thing?"
I... What about your bit of fluff?"
"I ain't got a bit of fluff, Nancy."
"What?"
"She ain't half chat or an oriental. She ain't a mulatto with a beaky nose. She ain't that bint what licked your old dad's ankles in Potsdam, look."
"What? I don't know what you're on about, Winston."
"I made it all up, Nancy. I pretended I got a bit of fluff so as I'd make you all jealous, look."
"Why? Why did you want to make me jealous?"
"Because I likes to see you with your dander up, Nancy. I likes to see the flash of your eyes and the pink flush on your snow-white neck and the even of your noble bedongers."
"Leave my bedongers out of this, if you please, Winston."
"Oh, certainly, missus. I wait till we get wedded and spliced before I concentrate my attention on that part of your anatomy. What concerns me now is your mush piece."
"My mush piece?"
"Yes, your mush piece, your mouth. I want to see it open, and I want to hear coming out of it an emanating sort of thing, that one word, what will transform my life into realms and spheres of joyous ecstasy and exaltation like which I ain't experienced since that blissful moment sort of thing I saw Betty Abels fall off the snooker table at the Royal Women's Club at Dawlish Warren while attempting to pot a pink off the cush with her second cousin's chimney sweep brush. Sort of thing. Well, Nancy, what do you say?"
"No."
"What?"
"The answer, Winston, is no."
"But I don't understand, Nancy. When I told you the missus had divorced me official, booted me into touch all legal and judicial, you went bleeding berserk. You couldn't keep your hands off me. God blimey, Charlie, you was begging me to marry you. You was pleading with me. You was like that bint out of Don Giovanni in the opera of a very similar name."
"That's because I was gushing."
"What?"
"I don't gush any more, Winston. Neither do I sprint. I take things slowly. I take things somberly, all cool and calm and collected. I'm a mature woman. I've seen the world. I once saw Edwina Mountbatten open a garden fete in Stroud. They'd have been much better off hiring that gussy little tick Simon Rattle. Why's he got to have his hair permed to conduct the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, I'll never know."
"Birmingham, Nancy."
"What?"
"It's the Birmingham Symphony Orchestra what he conducts."
"I don't care if it's the George Mitchell Minstrels, and he does it in his underpants. I am not marrying you, Winston, and that is that."
Nancy, I knows I played it all wrong. Look, I knows old Winston made a thoroughgoing bollocks off it."
"Winston, language!"
"Oh, sorry, missus. Nancy, when you first proposed to me, I was in a deep state of shock, look. I was still wrapped up in my memories of my missus, the ugly old party with the scaly tongue and the blisters on her earlobes. Then, when I seen the state of the bogs in the Overcroft coming over to France, I realised there was other things in life. I realised there was you, Nancy."
"Thank you, Winston."
"Oh, you're very welcome, missus. Listen to me, my old wingsy bash. Now we're in this romantic mood. Let me put it to you fair and square, no old bard sort of thing. There's me, Nancy, and there's you. proud Nancy, haughty Nancy, refined and sophisticated Nancy, educated Nancy, with the smooth skin on the inside of her wrists and the moist, flickering tip of her tongue and a long, shapely, smooth and lissome pair of pins.
Oh, Winston.
We can be man and wife, Nancy. I'll be the former and you can be the latter.
Winston.
We can live in a whitewashed cottage at the head of a lonely, mist-shrouded creek. And we'll watch the grebe and the divers feed themselves in the shallows in the spring before they sets off on the long journey north to breed.
Winston.
And we'll romp long and luxurious in our bed, and we won't have no sprogs, so they burst into the room with their water pistols and their smelly kecks just as you're approaching the gravy stroke. And we'll...
Why did you turn me down, Winston?
What?
Why did you turn me down when I poured my heart out to you, when I grovelled in front of you, when I pleaded with you and implored you?
Because you demeaned yourself, Mrs.
What?
Demeaning yourself, my old wingsy bash. That wasn't a Nancy I knew. The Nancy I knows, she is dignified and she is disdainful and she holds her head up high with a jut to her chin and she walks all proud and stately. The Nancy I knows, she is a woman of passion. Beneath that veneer of icy calm, there rages the juices of a slow and sensuous body crying out to have its secret places roamed and explored by a man rampant with love and searing with desire. Marry me, Nancy!
No, bugger off!
You what, missus?
I can't marry him.
Why not?
Because I've got a blokey and I'm going to marry him.
Well, I'll punch his teeth in for him!
He's not the sort of blokey who has his teeth punched in by the likes of you, Winston. Lady Edwina Mountbatten may be, but not you. You never had hanky-panky with Mr. Nehru, did you? You see, Winston, my blokey is an extremely respectable businessman held in the very highest regard by the community. He's got a villa in Quiberon and a wife with thin arms.
A wife? Well, how can you bloody well marry him if he's already married? That is bigamy, that is. Well, it's more like trigonometry with me wanting to marry you as well.
You're confusing me again. You're making me want to sprint. You're making me want to...
Hello, you two. Good grief, what on earth's the matter with you? You look absolutely distraught.
I am, Rosie.
Why?
Because Nancy's just told me she has got a blokey and she's going to marry him.
Nancy's got a blokey? Who is he?
Some rich froggy git with a villa in Quiberon and a wife with thin arms.
But that's my blokey.
What?
That's my blokey. I met him outside the critic Lyonnais' place and he took me to a cafe and we drank cassis and ate crab tartlets and went to his apartment and made mad, passionate love and... Nancy, what are you doing with my blokey?
I made him up.
What?
You told me all about him and I was jealous of you.
Why?
Because I wanted him. I saw him first in the office when we rented the house and he kissed my hand and held my waist when he led me to the chair and I wanted him. And then you told me you'd got him and I was distraught and then Winston told me he'd got himself a bit of fluff and I told Winston I got your blokey because I wanted to make him jealous.
I don't understand this. I'm completely lost.
It's very simple, Rosie. I have asked your sister to marry me.
You what? Oh, how wonderful. How marvellous.
You don't mind, Rosie?
Of course I don't mind. I'm thrilled to bits. Oh, Nancy, we've got you off our hands at last.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, sorry, Nancy. I don't mean to be hurtful. What I meant to say was that you've got us off your hands now. You'll have Winston to bully and banter and cosset and pamper and make thoroughly miserable and wretched.
Hold on, Rosie. Don't get all carried away, look. There's one very important fact what you have forgotten and ignored in all this eulogising sort of thing.
And what's that?
What's this bigwig, respectable blokey of yours going to say about your sister marrying a disgusting, nauseating poacher with a fat boozer's belly and spit marks down the front of his corduroy breeches and bacon...
I haven't got a blokey.
What?
I made it up.
Why?
Because I'd got no one, had I? William's got his train spotting, Father's got his signal box and his memories, you've got Winston and he's got you, and I was all alone and no one wanted me. Oh, yes, I saw the man, okay, outside the Crédit Lyonnais. I spoke to him. At first he didn't know who I was, and then he remembered and his face lit up. His whole face lit up and he said, "How's that glamorous, gorgeous, good-looking sister of yours?"
Oh, I'll put his teeth in, I will, and if that don't do the trick, I'll get Edwina Mountbatten to give him a bloody good kick up the flap, look.
There's no need to get her, Winston. I'll do it with pleasure. That man! I hate that man. Why did he ignore me? Why did he spurn me? Why do all men spurn me? What's wrong with me?
Oh, Rosie, my lovely, lovely sister with the long golden hair tumbling over your naked shoulders, your breasts swinging free, and the dark lingering shadows at the top of your thighs. And...
shadows? What are you talking about?
Yes, well, you see, I saw you getting undressed last night, you see. I didn't want to, but, well, it wasn't my intention to go. But...
I want to go home. I want to go back to England.
So do I. So do I, without a shadow of a doubt.
All right, then we shall. Right away. This very minute. Come on, we'll...
What hell there, chaps?
Father, what on earth are you doing with all that luggage?
We're jiggering off.
What?
Father and I are jiggering off in the car.
But you can't jigger off in the car. We need it to go back to England.
In that case, hard cheddar.
What?
It might have escaped your notice, but this car belongs to Father. It's in his name, and we have commandeered it. Is that not so, Father?
Rather, oh boy.
But where are you going?
We're driving to Nice, and from there, or shall I say from thence, we shall retrace the steps of the journey Father made when Uncle Scoma ran off with the money and Mother was left to her own devices.
And when we get to Ulm, William, I'll show you the quarters where I established myself for 3 days and nights with that Polish countess from Danzig with the most fearfully pleasant beauty spots on her buttocks and cigarette case. And then I shall take you to Klagenfurt, where I had the most jolly time with two sisters from Trier, who were most frightfully double-jointed in the most unexpected places.
Sex rears its ugly head again. I want to go home. I want to go home to England, Nancy.
And so you shall, William. So you shall, my dear.
The dusk fell quickly and softly, and it was too late to set off that night. I walked slowly back to the old station master's house. Winston caught up with me, put his arm round my waist and whispered in my ear,
"Marry me, Nancy. Marry me, my old Wingsy Pash."
I pushed him away gently, and I said, "No." But inwardly I sprinted naked through the yard, and I pelted up the rickety steps of the signal box, and I haired to the open window, and I gushed at the top of my silent voice, "Super, Nancy. Absolutely super."